The following is a Radiovisions presentation.
We got mates under us. Come on back around. I got mates all around this place. Come on up here. Let's fight. Come on back. Let's go to Detroit.
This is real.
I'm friendly.
American pilots fighting communism in Southeast Asia. In 1965, America was not directly involved in the war in Laos. But indirectly, well, that's another story. This story. Radio Visions presents Search and Rescue, a radio adaptation from the book Across the Mekong by Charles O. Davis, the true story of an Air America helicopter pilot.
It was September of 1965, and I was flying helicopters for Air America in Southeast Asia. Our mission was the support of local forces in Laos combating communist expansion. What wasn't known was that Air America was owned by the CIA. It was a clandestine airline involved in a secret war. My name is Charlie Davis,
and I was a pilot for that outfit. Every flight would bring a new adventure. My day-to-day work was to fly cargo and troops to advanced bases, with each base having a different number. Our man in charge was a CIA agent, and we always called him the customer. He decided what we flew, where, and when. On occasion, U.S. fighter jets would bomb the supply trails that ran parallel to the nearby Laotian North Vietnamese border. When these missions were scheduled, we usually had to stand by in our helicopters in case a fighter aircraft went down and a search and rescue mission was required. The proper way would be to go in with two helicopters, plus a fighter escort to harass any enemy ground troops, and what we called a crown aircraft, to coordinate everything while circling overhead. Sometimes that full complement didn't happen. On this occasion, my flight mechanic, Pat McCarthy, and I had spent the night at Lima 36, north of the Plain of Jars. This was a remote and primitive outpost, the northernmost in Laos. It was within 30 miles of the border with North Vietnam, and there was always action nearby. Jerry Daniels, our customer, had us lay over that night, and I woke up in the morning to an overcast and gloomy sky. I needed a good reason to get up that morning. Hey, Pat. Get up and make some coffee.
It's too early.
Come on, move it. It's your turn.
Ah, saints preserve us.
I'm going to let that shoe lay there. Hope a rat makes a nest in it. But you know what, Charlie? It's a beautiful day.
It's raining, Mac.
Every day you're alive is a beautiful day, Charlie. Every meal a banquet. And every girl is pretty and deserves at least one kiss. Say, Charlie, don't these mountains remind you of back home in Tennessee?
Yeah, they do, Mac. But when did you ever get a chance to see the Smokies?
Ah, Charlie, I've heard your eloquent description of them so many times that I feel like they are part of me native sod.
Well, my native sod never had so many rats.
I think the only way we'll get rid of them from around here would be to cook them. And eat them.
Might be better than the regular chow. Look, I hope you're making that coffee strong.
You hoping it'll chase off the rats?
Nah, Pop Buell's around. When I checked in last night, the customer told me he was spending the night here, too.
Pop Buell?
Yeah, I figure he may smell the coffee and come over here for a visit.
Charlie, me lad. I've never met him.
Well, it's about time you did. He was a farmer back in Indiana. Kids grew up and moved out. He retired, and he and his wife were getting ready to enjoy life. She got sick and died, just like that.
Oh, Lord. Poor guy.
He got a job with a volunteer organization here in Laos and came over here to help the mountain tribes improve their farming skills.
Let me guess. He landed right in the middle of a war.
Exactly. He was upcountry when the North Vietnamese first attacked. He made the cross-country trek with them across the mountains, hounded all the way by armed troops.
Sweet Mary. Is he still trying to teach them to farm?
Nah, he coordinates relief aid for them now, sees to it that the food gets to those who need it, helps out with the refugee problem, stuff like that.
Can you imagine the headaches with that job?
Yeah, it must be a real nightmare.
Sorry. You guys up? I could smell your coffee from my tent. Can you spare a cup?
Pop, come on in. Pop, this is Pat McCarthy. Pat, Pop Buell.
Glad to meet you.
A pleasure.
Want some breakfast, Pop? We have some canned peaches and bread around here someplace.
Charlie, offer the man our best, or offer him nothing at all. I'll be glad to catch a rat and fry it up for you, Pop.
Ah, the sweet sound of an Irish brogue. You from the old country?
I am, but by way of New York. I came over as a teenager.
Well, it's about time. It's not an official fight, unless there's an Irishman in it, don't you know?
Hey, Pop, you got any cargo going out of here today?
No, I'm trying to get some in for distribution. Hey, did you hear about Colonel Thong?
Yeah, I heard about it. Too bad.
I never heard the details. What happened?
He was riding shotgun on the helicopter. He was manning a .30 caliber when they went in to pick up a downed pilot.
George Carroll was flying that chopper, wasn't he, Pop?
Yeah. They spotted the downed aircraft, and then they circled around, came in at high speed to make the pickup.
George told me when they came in, they took fire from all sides.
Oh, they must have. Did you see that helicopter? The cargo compartment was riddled by small arms fire. Must have had 40 or 50 holes in it.
Was that where Colonel Thong was with his machine gun?
Yeah. He took a round near the spine. Died later on, back at the base.
And what was the colonel doing riding shotgun?
Well, that's the kind of man he was, Pat. Always taking the same risk he expected of his men. He was such a strong leader, and being in charge of all the troops north of the plain, his shoes are going to be very hard to fill. We're going to miss him. Man was a real warrior.
You ever get called in on a search and rescue, Charlie?
No, not yet, but it's probably just a matter of time. I get enough excitement flying cargo into these remote hill stations.
Well, let's touch coffee cups and toast to absent friends.
I'll give you an Irish toast. To the ruin and damnation of our enemies.
And I'll give you a toast I learned from Colonel Thong. Skinnier men never cover a bunk. We started the morning by delivering supplies to nearby outposts. Then we made several trips, taking troops to different areas in the north. We flew some rice to Lima 33... about 20 miles to the southwest, then back to our base, Lima 36, around noon. As Mac was supervising our fueling, Jerry Daniels, a customer, approached.
Hey, Charlie. You and Mac stand fast for a while.
What's up?
There's a bombing mission about to take place over on the flank of the Plain of Jars. We need you here in case a rescue is required.
Any other choppers around?
Well, there's supposed to be one coming over from another Lima base, but it'll be a while before they can get here.
I hope he makes it soon. If we have to do a rescue, it might be best to have two pilots and one chopper.
Good thinking. Look, Charlie, since you're on the scene now, let's make you the pilot in charge if anything happens. Come on over to my tent and I'll brief you on what's going on.
Okay.
Come on in, Charlie. Let me get my map. Here, let me put this over here.
I'll take that.
There. Now,
okay,
here we are, right here.
Yeah, and there's the Plain of Jars.
The bombing will be on this flank.
That's a hot area.
That it be. Look, assuming you have to go in there, how would you do it?
Well, I'll parallel that ridge right there. I've made that part of the flight many times. Then go through here. Who's going to coordinate on site?
We don't have a Crown aircraft nearby. It'll probably just be you.
Where's the nearest fighters?
About a half hour away.
And I hope everybody stays safe. Well, here's somebody.
That's Grassi getting out.
Over here, John.
Yeah? Hey, guys. What's up?
Nothing yet. Bombing run, west of the flank, plenty of jars. We're standing by in case something goes wrong and we have to make a pickup. No fighters nearby, no Crown airplane to coordinate.
You mean we're the whole rescue team?
Yeah, but there's some fighters that can be here in half an hour.
We got a plan? If anything happens, should we go in with both choppers?
Nah, if we have to, let's go in my chopper. If something happens to one of us, the other can still fly.
If we have to go in, do we wait for support?
No, I figure we should just go in as quick as we can, and let's assess the situation there and decide about a pickup when we're on site.
Okay, I'm not sure.
Jerry!
It's the radio operator.
Jerry.
Yeah, right over here.
Plane go down.
They got the coordinates?
Here on paper.
All right, here, let's check the map.
Here, and here.
Just to the west of the Plain of Jars.
That's all enemy territory. But we've never seen any big guns there.
So far.
Well, let's get going. Jerry, we're going to come in through here. Hope to spot the wreckage about here. And then decide our next step. That's our plan.
No fighter cover. No coordination overhead. Well, at least we got a plan.
When do you think the fighters will be here?
At least half an hour away.
Who's our mechanic? Is it McCarthy? Didn't even get a chance to talk to him.
Yeah, he's back there. Hey, McCarthy.
Here, Charlie.
I saw you picked up a Laotian soldier back there. What kind of armament did you get?
Don't worry, Charlie. We've enough to do the job. Assuming you can get us in and out in a reasonable time.
Mac, I'm planning on being in and out of there quicker than a mule can kick.
Good afternoon, chopper. This is Tango One. That was us. We're the T-28s who just passed you. What's your call sign?
Roger, this is Hotel 2-1. We have you in sight, Tango One. Glad to see you.
Roger, here to assist you on the pickup. We're almost at the coordinates. We'll go ahead and circle over the area to see what we can find.
This is Hotel 2-1, and we copy that. We thought you guys were still about a half hour away.
Sherlock. Another mission was scrubbed and we're in the area. How can we help you today?
Roger, Tango One. Have you heard if we're going to get a Crown aircraft for overhead coordination?
They were trying to get a 123 out from Udorn. They had problems getting the bird in the air. Don't count on it, though. We might be on our own.
Roger that. We'll do our best. You let us know if you see anything we need to know about. Our plan is to go in, pick up the pilot, and get the hell out. Nothing too complicated.
Good. I hate complications. I can see smoke. We're in place. Okay, we're circling and waiting for you.
All right, here, I can see you. We're almost there. Yeah, I see the smoke. Did you see a survivor?
I see him. About 20 yards from the smoke.
Roger, Tango One. You see any bad guys in the area?
Negative.
No targets, Tango One?
Nothing. No targets.
John, you really think this is going to be this easy?
Doubt it.
Roger, Tango One. I've got a fix on the smoke. We're going to drop down and come in fast at treetop level, pick him up, and depart over the ridge of the west. Does that path look clear?
Affirmative. Looks clear.
Roger, we're going in.
Don't let him hurt my baby.
Mac, watch the right. John, you take the left.
Okay.
No, no. There he is. To the left.
Good position, Charlie. He can stroll over from there.
Looks like there's movement behind him. That's the fastest stroll I ever saw.
I've got him. Let's get out of here.
We're moving.
We see small arms fired north of the chopper.
Tango One, we're headed west.
Roger, nice line, Hotel 2-1. Don't know where those guys came from. They're getting pretty close there. Must have seen the shooting smoke and started closing in.
Roger that. Good thing we got there when we did.
Yeah, I guess it is. They would have had him in a few seconds more. All right, Tango Flight, let's discourage those gentlemen down below.
How's our passenger, Mac?
He extends his most profound thanks, Charlie. The bad guys weren't very far from him back there.
Well, tell him to sit tight and we'll have him back to the base in minutes. Sean, do you mind taking over? We'll sit back and relax for a second.
Go on. You earned it.
I sat back and watched the landscape flow below me, wondering about what had just happened. We had completed the mission successfully without a hitch and pulled a pilot out of a really bad spot. Things had happened so quickly, I really hadn't had time to think about them. It was all adrenaline moving my limbs and concentration telling me where to go. Nothing else mattered. Nothing else was noticed. Anyway, we got him out. We touched down at Lima 3-6 and a fixed wing was there waiting for the pilot. He left the cargo compartment and came around to shake hands with John Grassi and I. The smile on his face was like a Halloween pumpkin. And when he waved to us before boarding his aircraft, he was still grinning. It was the last I ever saw of him. Now, the day was still young and we had more daylight to burn, so John Grassi got back in his chopper and Jerry set Mac and I up with a few more runs. Finally, with about an hour of daylight left, we shut down at Lima 36 with 400 pounds of fuel left. I told Mac I was going to go to our tent, and I'd see him at Chow later.
Sparking off the fuselage, and the brave young pilot was fleeing across the moor, heading for our beckoning open door, running like the hounds of hell themselves were chasing him. I couldn't get a clear shot at those worthless miscreants pursuing him, so I was preparing to leap out and perform a flanking maneuver with him.
Sit down and have something to eat with us.
Thanks, Jerry, I will. Go on, Mac, don't let me interrupt you.
Oh, Charlie, I was just telling about how we got that Air Force pilot out of trouble this morning.
I don't remember if I had a chance to tell you this morning, Charlie, but that was a good job you guys did. You both deserve more. Best I can offer you is sticky rice and some lau-lau.
I'm not sure you should offer that rice whiskey to somebody who flies your helicopters.
Well, I'll have some sticky rice then. Here's a bowl. And here, you can use this spoon. Somebody's even licked it clean.
Yuck.
Here, Charlie. Take this. Can't have our hero going hungry.
Well, I'm hungry all right, but I'm not sure about the hero part.
Tell that to the pilot you saved.
All I did was fly the chopper, just like I do every other day. Wish I'd known I was a hero. I wouldn't have come back to work so quick.
Well, Charlie, no matter how you think of it, you did save somebody's life out there. Or at least, save him from something.
Here, Charlie, throw down a shot of this.
Okay.
Woo-hoo-hoo! You sure they make that out of rice?
Hey, this is smooth compared to Tennessee moonshine, Charlie.
Fellas, I've had enough for one day. First you call me a hero, then you try to poison me with this stuff. One or the other has gone to my head and the whole room is spinning. I'm going to go get some fresh air.
Hey, Charlie. Enjoying the quiet.
Oh, hey, Pop. Didn't see you there. Yeah, just relaxing.
Busy day today, huh?
Yeah, challenging one.
I heard about your pickup.
Yeah, Mac, John, and I got the guy out just in time. Seconds more and they would have had him.
Lucky for him.
Sure was.
How's that?
You know what? The whole thing has me puzzled. We go in, we get this guy out. I'm running on adrenaline, pure nerves, and focused intently on getting this one thing, getting him out. Everything comes off without a hitch. Probably saves his life. Then come back here and finish up the day running cargo all over the place. I was probably as into that one flight as I have been to anything in my life, and now everything's back to normal. And normal just isn't as good as it used to be.
I think I can understand.
I figured you would. And on top of that, Pop, those guys in there are calling me a hero. It was pretty intense out there, but I'm not sure I did anything heroic. It was all training and adrenaline, just like I keep saying. After we reached a certain point, I didn't have a choice. I just had to do what I did.
You risk your life, Charlie. That sounds pretty brave to me.
Pop, I'll tell you the truth. People like you, to me, are the real heroes. You've come over here to help grow food. You run into a war. You get shot at, chased all over the mountains. Yet you stay on and keep on plugging. Truthfully, I feel privileged to know you.
Ah, cut it out, Charlie.
Well, All I did was try not to let someone down. I was on the spot, so I went in and got him out.
But that's all I do too, Charlie. I'm here, and I know how to get things done that can help these tribesmen. So I hang around. Maybe that's what it means to be a hero. You don't let down the people who are depending on you. You don't betray your friends, and you do your best to get the job done, especially when someone's butt is on the line.
Maybe so, Pop.
Just sometimes it turns out the people you're helping are friends you just haven't met yet. Ah, come on, Charlie. Let's get back in there and see what these guys are up to.
It's a deal.
I am reminded it has been over 35 years since I flew my last helicopter for Air America. I stayed in the flying business and recently retired as a captain with U.S. Airways. The men I told you about in that rescue mission, they're all dead now. Pat McCarthy was killed a few months later in another mission that was shot down. John Grassi, he died of cancer a few years later. Pop Buell, he was visiting a friend in the Philippines and he died in his sleep. Jerry Daniels, he was living in Bangkok after the war. He had a freak accident where there was a gas leak in his apartment and he died in his sleep. I'm the only one left to talk about it. Looking back, my years as a helicopter pilot for Air America were the most exciting and challenging of my life. It was such an important time to me, a thin slice of a few months and years when I was young and the juices of life flowed so freely. Adventure and living on the edge, they were so important to me at the time. Those exciting days were huge stepping stones to the rest of my life.
Charlie Davis was played by Frank Hunt. Pat McCarthy was performed by Edgar Farr Russell III. Pop Buell was Mark Bush. Jerry Daniels was Maury Cagle. John Grassi was Phil Kenya. The fighter flight leader was Mark Paulette. The Laos soldier was Hank Montez. Search and Rescue by Charles O. Davis was adapted for radio by Dave Aim, produced and directed by Charles Langdon. Radio engineer was Ed Myers. This has been a Radio Visions presentation. Lee Shepherd speaking.